find in the morning papers. He's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get. And you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM, FM, shortwave, talk radio. The truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We're here with you on this Wednesday, 28 January, 09. And as promised, I started Monday. And I'm going to do a series of this type of program until I'm done. I don't know if this is going to last another 2 days, another 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 minutes. Well, I can guarantee it won't last 2 minutes. And the reason I'm doing this programming, folks, is for, it's simple. For every 100,000 we have whacking at the branch, we have one striking at the root. And this sickening thought occurred to me today, you know, through the programming, and it's a need to know. For many people in this country, programming such as this, they have never even heard the likes of. That's why we want to encourage you to call this network. Get the business cards. Get the bumper stickers. Get the word out, folks. We're doing our job here. You do yours there. Inform as many people as you can. I've never quite put it like that before, but we're doing our job. You do yours. On Monday, I did the piece by Benjamin H. Friedman, and he gave this at the Willard Hotel in 1961. I also wrote for McGinley's newspaper, Common Sense. Lassie Williamson, I did the story by him as well, Zionism and the Jewish National Socialism. And today, I'm going to get into Jack Bernstein. Now, you notice something. Strange, isn't it? That all of what I'm reading to you is coming from Jews themselves that have discovered what the problem is, and they've been warning people about it. Jack Bernstein, this was written, some 28 years ago, My Farewell to Israel, Thorn of the Middle East. And then we're going to do some programming on the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, what they've created, who they control, and bring you up to present day, folks. I'm trying desperately not to leave any large gaping holes. But we have a problem here, folks. I'm not here to hype you about the police state. We know that it's coming. I'm not here to scream aloud, let's remember 9/11. All these are important issues. But the main underlying disease, the cancer that is rotting out this country, continues unabated. So if people feel good, and I know there's got to be introductory menus, if you will, to people coming in to the enlightened stage. But folks that have been with me for a number of years, nigh on 15 now, they understand exactly what I am saying and why I'm doing this. And I hope that you out there that have got into the channel changing knee-jerk reactionary type stuff, I hope that you stick with me for these next 2 hours. We don't need knee-jerk reactionaries out there. Oh my, isn't that terrible? Oh my, isn't this terrible? We're going to get to the cancer.
Hey, I'll make you a deal. Give me 60 seconds and I'll give you directions to the Fountain of Youth. Okay, I'm joking. Well, kind of joking. No fountains, but youth, I got. Nature's Youth and their premier anti-aging product, Nature's Youth RSF. With your sensible diet and exercise plan, Nature's Youth RSF can help you look and feel better. RSF is an all-natural amino acid supplement that supports your body to naturally increase HGH levels without any synthetic hormones. And elevated HGH levels can contribute to increased energy, improved libido, reduced body fat, and improved exercise capacity. Let's be honest, who doesn't want to look and feel younger? Visit the newly designed website at naturesyouth.com or call 800-333-6923. That's 800-333-6923 and like them on Facebook and you'll be included in contests and exclusive offers. What a deal. Oh, speaking of deals, my time's about up. 800-333-6923 or naturesyouth.com. Who needs a fountain anyway? Call today.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
What I'm about to share with you just doesn't come from any Jew. It comes from Jack Bernstein, and he was a Zionist, Ashkenazi Jew. And he entitles this simply, The Life of an American Jew in a Racist Marxist Israel, My Farewell to Israel, Thorn of the Middle East. And before I embark on this, keep something in mind, ladies and gentlemen. The House of Rothschild are the fine people that financed and set up Israel. There's no coincidence that the red shield and that symbol that you equate with the symbol on the Israeli flag was the House of Rothschild symbology. And Albert Pike, back in the 1800s, penned a book, Morals and Dogma. And he also told people that there is going to be three world wars. Now, throughout this, you will have information given to you in a proper timeline that we can see, at least for the past 200 years, as long, almost as long as this country has been a nation, that we have had and shared a similar problem, albeit cloaked, not spoken of, above a whisper in the halls of Congress or in the Senate. It is what every congressman, every senator in Washington, D.C. is afraid of and will not speak out against it. Today, they're going to pass a a budgetary amendment, another bailout. A private corporation, for whatever reason, for its failure, is being put on the backs of the American people. That is flat-out socialism. This is what the Grand Masters want for the entire planet. They control the money, hence control governments and corporations, and they don't give a tinker's damn who passes what law or utters one political speech or word in whatever country on this planet. It makes no difference. Jack Bernstein said, before Israel became a state in 1948, Jews worldwide were filled with the Zionist propaganda that Israel would be a homeland for all Jews, a refuge for persecuted Jews, a democratic country, and the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. I am an Ashkenazi Jew who spent the first 25 years of my life in the United States, the country that has given all Jews freedom and the opportunity to prosper. And prosper we Jews did, to the point that one portion of the Jews, the Zionists, have gained a position of political and economic dominance in the U.S. To fully understand the story I'm about to tell, it is important that you understand what Zionism really is. Zionist propaganda has led the American people to believe that Zionism and Judaism are one and the same, and that they are religious in nature. This is a blatant lie. Judaism is a religion, but Zionism is a political movement started mainly by East European Ashkenazi Jews. For centuries have been the main force behind communism and socialism. The ultimate goal of the Zionists in one world government under the control of the Zionists and the Zionist-oriented Jewish international bankers. Communism and socialism are merely tools to help them accomplish their goal. I was a victim of the Zionist propaganda. After 1967 war, we Jews were filled with pride that our homeland had become so powerful and successful. Then, too, we had been filled with the false propaganda that Jews in America were being persecuted. So between 1967 and 1970, approximately 50,000 American Jews fell for the Zionist propaganda and migrated to Israel. I was one of those suckers. After being filled with all the false Zionist propaganda, I felt that I would have a better chance to succeed in the new Jewish state. There was an added enticement, the spirit and challenge of pioneering and helping my fellow Jews. Jewels. We'll get around to the diamond mines later. Dual citizenship. I had no emotional conflict with leaving the U.S. because I still was able to keep my U.S. citizenship and could return to the U.S. at any time. You see, Jews are allowed to become citizens of both Israel and some countries. The U.S. is one of those countries. The U.S. government allows a Jew to be a citizen of both U.S. and Israel. And as I asked the other day, then where do your loyalties lie? German Americans cannot be citizens of both U.S. and Germany. Italian Americans cannot be citizens of both U.S. and Italy. Egyptian Americans cannot be the citizens of both the U.S. and Egypt. But a Jewish American can be a citizen of both Israel and the U.S. This is a good example of the power the Zionist Jews have over the U.S. government. I arrive in the Jewish paradise. Before leaving for Israel, a Jewish friend of mine had made arrangements for me to stay a few days with her sister, Fazia Dabul, and her spinster aunt. After arriving at the Lod airport just outside of Tel Aviv, I took a bus to the home of Ms. Dabul and her aunt. When I saw Fazi, it was love at first sight. I started calling her Ziva, her Hebrew name. Ziva is a Sephardic Jewess from Iraq who, like myself, had fallen from the Zionist propaganda and had migrated to Israel. She was employed as a hairdresser. After visiting with Ziva and her aunt for 2 days, I left to spend 6 months at Kibbutz Ein, and I do believe this is Hashelfet, one well over the 150 such communes that are operating in Israel. Since then, many more have been started, especially in the territory taken from the Palestinian Arabs. A kibbutz is a farming and sometimes industrial venture. It's important to explain that Israel's kibbutz system is a Marxist idea brought to Israel by an Ashkenazi Jew who migrated to Israel mainly from Poland and Russia. These Jews are part of that bunch of Jews we know as the Bolsheviks. Before 1917, they were the force that laid the foundation for the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 in Russia and the start of communism. Again, I want to point out, even emphasize, that it is some of that same bunch of Ashkenazi communist socialist Jews who migrated to Israel, gained control of the Zionist movement, and have dominated the government of Israel since its beginning in 1948. Now back to the kibbutz. Prior to 1967, most of the work on the kibbutz was done by Jews, but since the 1967 war, the work has been done by Arabs, who are paid a very low wage, and by volunteers from overseas. Members of the kibbutz, all Jews, share all things equally. They receive clothing, food, and a small allowance. All profits from the venture go into the kibbutz account for future use. Each of these kibbutz are affiliated with one of Israel's Marxist parties, ranging from socialist to hardcore communist. The kibbutz I was in was not hardcore communist, yet I was happy to leave after 4 months, 2 months earlier than originally planned. During the time I was working in the kibbutz, I carried on a courtship with Ziva. She was one of the reasons I left the kibbutz after only 4 months we were to be married. Our marriage created problems. The marriage ceremony was held in the Sephardic synagogue. The ceremony was simple but beautiful. Ziva and I were happy, but our marriage created serious problems. You see, Ziva is a Sephardic Jewess, and I'm an Ashkenazi Jew. For an Ashkenazi Jew to marry a Sephardic Jew is frowned upon in Israel by the ruling Ashkenazism. To understand why this is the case, you must realize the difference between Sephardic and Ashkenazi Jews. The powerful Zionist propaganda machine has led the American people to believe that the Jew is a Jew, one race of people, and that they are God's chosen people. I will deal with the God's chosen people lie later. First, it is important for you to understand that Jews are not one race of people. There are two distinct groups of Jews in the world, and they come from two different areas of the world. The Sephardic Jews from the Middle East, and the North African and Ashkenazi Jews come from Eastern Europe. The Sephardic is the oldest group, and is they, if any, who are the Jews described in the Bible, because they lived in the area described in the Bible. They are blood relatives to the Arabs. The only difference between them is the religion. The Ashkenazi Jews, who now comprise 90% of the Jews in the world, had a rather strange beginning. According to historians, many of the Ashkenazi Jews, came into existence about 1,200 years ago. It happened this way. At the eastern edge of Europe, there lived a tribe of people we know as the Khazars. About the year of 740 AD, the Khazar king and his court decided that they should adopt the religion for their people. So representatives of three major religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, were invited to present their religious doctrines. The Khazars chose Judaism, but it wasn't for religious reasons. If the Khazars had chosen Islam, they would have angered the strong Christian population of the world. If they had chosen Christianity, they would have angered the strong Islamic world. So they played it safe. They chose Judaism. It wasn't for religious reasons the Khazars chose Judaism. It was for political reasons. Sometime during the 13th century, the Khazars were driven from their land, and they migrated westward, with most of them settling in Poland and Russia. These Khazars are now known as Ashkenazi Jews, because these Khazar Ashkenazi Jews merely chose Judaism. They are not really Jews, at least not blood Jews. Throughout their history, these Polish and Russian Ashkenazi Jews practiced communism and socialism and worked to have their ideas implemented into these countries. By the late 1800s, significant members of the communist socialist Jews were found in Germany, the Balkans, and eventually all over Europe. Because of their interference in the social and governmental affairs of Russia, they became the target of persecution by the czars. And we'll pick this up right after this break, ladies and gentlemen. This is history. I hope you're paying attention, because you, my fine friends out there, need to be the teachers of the unwashed and the uneducated. That's your job.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic and extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As I said prior to the break, in the 1800s, significant numbers of these communist and socialist Jews were found in Germany, the Balkans, and eventually all over Europe. Because of their interference in social and governmental affairs of Russia, they became the target of persecution by the Tsars. Because migration of these communists and socialists, oriented Jews, began, some went to Palestine, some went to Central and South America, and a large number of them came to the U.S. Hence, political Zionism is born. In 1897, the first Zionist Congress was held in Basel, Switzerland. At this Congress, it was decided to work toward the establishment of a Jewish state, and a search for land on which to build this Jewish state began. Great Britain offered the Zionists land in Africa. The Zionists rejected. They wanted Palestine. At the time, Palestine was inhabited by 500,000 Palestinian Arabs and a few Palestinian Jews who are blood-related and who had lived together in peace for centuries. With Palestine as their choice for a homeland, European Ashkenazi Jews began migrating to Palestine. As I explained earlier, most were communist and socialist-oriented, with some of them being radical Bolshevist communist, whose aim is world domination. So when you think of Jews, especially as related to Israel, keep in mind that there is a great difference between Sephardic and Ashkenazi. They are not one united people. They are divided socially, politically, and especially racially. Now back to Ziva, a Sephardic Jewish, and I'm an Ashkenazi Jew, and our lives are the so-called Democratic Country of Israel. Now the Sephardic Jews, they're second-class citizens. For the first 3 years of our marriage, it was necessary for us to live in Ziva's aunt. This was because of the critical housing shortage in Israel, and because of racism, housing is allotted as follows. Ashkenazi Jews who have lived in Israel for many years are given first choice. Second in line are the Ashkenazi Jews from Europe, especially if they're married, or marry an Israeli-born Ashkenazi. The next favorite are Ashkenazi Jews from the U.S., especially if they marry an Israeli-born Ashkenazi Jew. Sephardic Jews have the next choice of whatever housing is left. At the bottom of the list are Muslims, Druze, and Christians. Now, opportunities for employment follow the same pattern. Ashkenazi Jews get the choicest jobs, Sephardic Jews next, and then Muslim, Druze, and Christians fill the menial jobs with a great many left unemployed. Even though I was an Ashkenazi Jew from the U.S., I was placed lower on the list for housing because I married a Sephardic Jewess. Being denied housing was the second experience of the intense racism that exists in Israel. From the very beginning of my arrival in Israel, many slurs were yelled at me. We American Jews were merely being tolerated because Israel, to survive, must depend on the gifts of the American Jews and the sale of worthless Israeli bonds in America. There is jealousy among the elite Israeli Ashkenazi Jews toward American Jews, even if the American Jews are also Ashkenazi. Many times I was told, go home, we want your money, but not you. Spoken like a true Jew. However, there was a portion of the American Jews who were welcome and given favorite treatment. They were the card-carrying communist Jews. Of the 50,000 American Jews, like myself, had migrated to Israel between 1967 and 1970, about 20% or 10,000 of them were Marxist-oriented, with a great number of them actual card-carrying communists. They were welcomed by the Israeli authorities and a local Ashkenazi and were given favored treatment, housing, jobs, and social life. It must be noted, coming from the U.S., a great number of communist Jews were migrating to Israel from Chile, Argentina, and South Africa. Of the 50,000 who had migrated to Israel during that time, 80% of us eventually returned to the U.S. The 20% who remained were those who were card-carrying communists or sympathetic to Marxism. He speaks of the three faces of Israel. From what I have told you so far, you must have the idea that Israel is a Marxist, socialist, communist country. This would be correct. But Israel has three faces: communism, fascism, and democracy. The Ashkenazi Jews who migrated to Israel from Russia brought with them the ideology of socialism and communism and have put their put into practice much of that ideology. The Ashkenazi Jews who migrated to Israel from Germany, while sympathetic to communism and support it, tend to favor the practices of the Nazi-style fascism. During World War II in Germany, these elite Zionist Ashkenazi Jews worked closely with Hitler's Gestapo in persecuting the lower-class German Jews and delivering them to the concentration camps. Now, living in Israel, these elite Zionist Jews, who are well-trained in the Nazi-style fascism and favor it, have imposed many facets of fascism on Israel. To give the impression that Israel is a democracy, members of the Knesset, the Israeli Congress, are elected, an odd type of election. This is where Israel's so-called democracy stops. It doesn't make any difference which party wins an election.
You're listening to Republic Broadcast,
giving favors to the elite, clique, and brutally suppressing any dissent. In the Zionist communist scheme of world domination, it is Israel's role to continually stir up trouble in the Middle East, since wars are a big part of this scheme of aggression. It is only natural that from early childhood on, Israel youth are trained mentally and physically for war. For instance, Israel has its equivalent in Hitler's youth group. It is the Gadna. And all high school and junior high school students are required to participate, boys and girls. Like Hitler's youth group, the youth in Israel's Gadna are dressed in khaki uniforms. They take training and engage in paramilitary exercises. Listen to the parallels that you're starting to hear coming out of the abomination, Barry Sartoro's New Deal. We'll be right back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue,
and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Even at play, guns and thoughts of war are present. When on a picnic, instead of taking along a basketball or soccer equipment, they take submachine guns and assault rifles and practice shooting and playing military games. Once graduated from high school, all young boys are required to serve 3 years in the Army, 2 years for girls, or 4 years in the Navy or the Air Force, three for women. Ultra-Orthodox religious Jews are exempt from military service. Once out of the service, a number of the ex-service people join the Shin Bet, the equivalent of Hitler's Gestapo. Like the Gestapo, they engage in repressing anyone who acts or speaks out against the Marxist, fascist government of the Zionist-dominated Israel. Like in Nazi Germany, all the people in Israel are required to carry identity booklets called Tadat Zahut in Hebrew. One day, I changed jackets and forgot to take out my ID booklet. When I went downtown in Tel Aviv, a police officer approached me and asked for my Tadat Zahut. I told him that I'd left it in my other jacket because I didn't have my ID booklet with me. I was taken to the police station. At the police station, the desk sergeant informed me that for not having my ID booklet with me, I could be jailed for up to 16 days without even being taken before a judge. All that was necessary is for the police lieutenant to sign a remand order. I asked permission to make a telephone call to my wife and tell her to bring my ID booklet to the station. The sergeant allowed me 2 hours to have any Tadut Sahut produced. I called my wife and she brought the document, arriving just minutes before the two-hour deadline expired. If she had been late in arriving, I would have been jailed for 16 days for not having my ID booklet with me. This is just one indication that Israel is a police state and not a democracy. Concerning Nazism and fascism, please let me clear a point. Germans are an admirable people. I dare say even great. But in Germany, the general population were victims of the Nazis who, through cunning and brutality, gained power. In Germany, the average Jews were victims of the Zionist elite who worked hand-in-hand with the Nazis. Many of these same Zionist Jews who, in Germany, had worked with the Nazis came to Israel and joined hands with the Zionist and communist Jews from Poland and Russia. If the two faces of communism and Nazi-style fascism that rule Israel, democracy is merely an illusion. Regarding the tie between the elite Ashkenazi Jew and the Nazis, take a look at the word Ashkenazi. Look again. Ashkenazi. Interesting, isn't it? There's great confusion regarding the relationship of fascism to communism. Fascism is national socialism. Communism is international socialism. Israel's economy. Economically, Israel is bankrupt. Of course, this could have been predicted because Israel's economic structure is based on socialism. Whenever a government of a state and its citizens spend more money than the value of the goods produced, economic bankruptcy will result. If it were not for aid from America, Israel's economy would have collapsed long ago. Israel is a welfare state in every sense of the word. It is America's most favored welfare recipient. While American farmers, small businessmen, and laborers are struggling to survive, the U.S. government, dominated by Zionist Jews, are draining the pockets and purses of American taxpayers to support Israel's socialist economy and war machine. Remember, I am reading this from 1985. Since the Israeli government knows, and the favored Zionists know, that the Zionist pressure in America will ensure that America will keep sending them massive amounts of money, Israel's government and its favored citizens spend money like drunken sailors. This practice leads to inflation and eventually to an economic collapse. Comparing Israel to drunken sailors is unfair to sailors. Sailors spend their own money. Israel spends money it gets from America because Israel is a welfare state depending mainly on American aid for survival. It is on a downhill slide. In 1982, Israel's inflation rate was 130%. In 1983, it was 200%. And this year, being 1984, is expected to exceed 400%. That means a hamburger that cost a dollar last January will have risen to $5 by the end of December. History shows that no nation mired in economic problems as Israel has become has ever avoided an economic collapse. Only with a massive increase in American financial aid can an economic collapse be averted. Even then, the solution would only be temporary. Regarding the destructive tendencies of socialism, there are circumstances that allow a country to successfully provide social programs to help its people. It is possible in a country that has sufficient financial resources and where its citizens are deeply religious and considerate of their fellow men. None of this exists in Israel. Even in countries where conditions are ideal, there lingers a danger. Since the government of the country provides for the needs of its citizens, most of these citizens have a tendency to lose incentive to work, and a country with a complacent citizenry is easily conquered. Tourism is one of the main sources of income. The largest group of visitors are American Jews, but there are also many American Christians who want to visit the holy shrines and to see the land of God's chosen people. These Christians come away very impressed and filled with religious fervor. While in Israel, Jews and Gentiles alike are carefully watched so they do not stray and happen to see a sordid side of Israel, the true Israel. Like in the Soviet Russia and other communist countries, visitors to Israel are taken on carefully planned guided tours. They are shown the religious sites, the universities, the lush orchards, the technical accomplishment, the arts, and to stir sympathy, they are taken to visit the Holocaust Museum. But kept from the eyes of the tourist are the ghettos, the prisons, where political prisoners, mostly Arabs and Sephardic Jews, are subjected to the most inhumane forms of torture. The tourists do not see the widespread crime activities and the corruption and the cooperation between organized crime bosses and government and police officials. The tourists do not learn of the true inner workings of Israel and the Marxist fascist government, nor do they see Israel's racism. I met one American tourist who couldn't help telling me about the wonderful religious feeling he had being in Israel, the Holy Land. I remarked to her, just try giving a Bible to a local Jew and you'll see how much religion and religious freedom there is in Israel. If seen by the police, you will be arrested. Regarding the Holocaust Museum, says, I cannot help but comment, the Holocaust may not have happened if the Zionist leadership in Germany had not cooperated with the Nazis, if the Zionists worldwide had not persuaded various countries to refuse to accept Jews from Germany, the Zionists in America persuaded President Roosevelt to shut the door and not allow Jewish refugees, I'll get it out, into America before the war and when there was still a chance for Jews to leave Germany. He has an asterisk here. It must be added that many people, including Jews, question whether the Holocaust happened as portrayed by the Zionist propagandist, at least not to the extent of the Zionist claim. And my figures have it, folks, at about 460,000+ Jews in Germany. And there were most of the Jews in Germany. So how did this number inflate 10 times? It's a propaganda machine eliciting sympathy, but more important, you cannot speak against a Jew. That would be anti-Semitic. That would also be picking on somebody that has been so victimized, so very, very victimized. On the subject of religion, the land on which the present state of Israel has been built, formerly Palestine, was once walked upon by Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. Since Palestine was the site of many religions and religious events and has many religious sites, it is rightfully referred to as the Holy Land. So one would think that Palestine, now Israel, would tend to have an air of holiness about it. When Palestinian Muslims and Palestinian Jews occupied Palestine, there was a religious aura. But since the Zionists took over the area and set up the State of Israel, it is one of the most sinful nations in the world where only 5% of the Jews are religious. It's interesting to note that who are strongly religious are Arab Muslims and Arab Christians, who make up a small minority in Israel. Israel law suppresses all religion. For instance, it is against the law to try to convert a Jew to another religion, even if the Jew is an atheist or a humanist. A Christian is permitted to preach the gospel in a church building, but for the clergy or anyone to even tell about the teachings in the Bible outside the church building will bring a 5-year prison sentence. For a Christian to give a Bible or religious article to a Jew will also bring a 5-year sentence. Even an act of kindness by a Christian toward a Jew, such as giving a gift of food, can be interpreted as trying to convert the Jew to Christianity and can bring a 5-year prison sentence. Wonder if the fat man down in San Antonio knows this. The one that is telling millions of Americans that Israel must stand at all cost. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope there is a hell, because I want that fat pig to fry up like a fatty old hamburger. And by the way, if they have any belief in what they're teaching, that is going to be their fate, because pastors and preachers and priests are judged by God by a higher standard than just the common layman. This is the same law religious suppression applies to those of Islamic faith who in the act of kindness give a gift of any kind to a Jew. A 5-year prison sentence can result. The treatment of religious Jews is touchy for the ruling Zionists worldwide. Jews and non-Jews view Israel as a land where Jews may practice their religion without persecution. Therefore, the Zionists do not dare risk suppressing Judaism for fear of arousing world opinion against them. So the ruling Zionists merely tolerate the religious practices of the small minority of religious Jews in Israel. God's chosen people. The American people have been led to believe that the Jews are God's chosen people. This myth was started by a small group of Jews. A few Jewish leaders took excerpts from the Bible and interpreted them as chosen people. But isn't it odd that it is not the religious Jews who claim to be God's chosen people? It is the atheistic, non-believing Jews who claim that honor. Leading the cry, "We are God's chosen people," are the Zionist Marxists and the Ashkenazi Jew who for political purposes chose Judaism and who don't have a drop of biblical Jewish blood in them. One Israeli religious Jew said it well. "At one time, we Jews were chosen by God to be his messengers, but long ago, we forfeited that right." Anyone who's read the Bible with an open mind knows that God gave Jews of the time special favors, but it was in the form of covenants. In these covenants were conditions, and another word for a covenant is contract. In these contracts were conditions. The conditions were that God demanded the Jews obey his word. Time after time, Jews broke the covenants. They rejected God and turned to adoring mammon. It doesn't take a biblical scholar to realize that long ago, even the real Jews lost the right of being God's chosen people. In comparing the degree to which the followers of three major religions practice their beliefs, I make this observation. Judaism for Jews, Sephardic or Ashkenazi, are religious. This is true in America, in Israel, and worldwide. Christianity, the Christians' religion, has felt the influence of Jewish meddling and infiltration, especially in America, resulting in confusion and bickering between the various Christian denominations. This has led to a lukewarm attitude among most Christians toward their religion. There is evidence to prove that Jews, or one of their many fronts, have started many of the Christian denominations and thus dominate doctrine. Islam. The Muslims who follow the teachings of Islam are by far the most fervent of the three major religions in following their religious beliefs. The Judeo-Christian ethic we hear so much about in America is a big joke, the result of an intense Zionist propaganda campaign. I'll toss in one last thought about the God's chosen people myth. God said, "Beware of those who call themselves Jews and are not, for they lie." Could it be the Ashkenazi Jews are the people to whom God was referring? Israel stirs perpetual war. In the Holy Land, it would seem that there would be peace. Instead, war and preparation for war is ever present. The Israeli military machine is recognized as the fourth most powerful in the world from the standpoint of the amount of planes, tanks, and other fighting equipment, plus the fact that it is of the latest design, does make the military machine of Israel very powerful, but in the army, serious weaknesses have developed. Now, this was 1985. He doesn't mention nuclear weapons because I do believe by 1985 it was being discussed, giving the technology to Israel as long as they just kept it quiet. Now it is believed, at minimum, Israel has 200 nuclear weapons and possibly as many as 400. That would make their Arab neighbors a little bit nervous because they could fry them like a French fry from thousands of miles away. My comment here, why is Ahmadinejad being put to the test? Because he wants to develop nuclear power in his country, but they could make a nuclear bomb out of it. And as I've said this before, so what? If I've got Israel and they absolutely want to blow me to smithereens, at least let me have the slingshot against the giant. Before exploring the weaknesses of Israel's army, let me briefly review each of the wars in which Israel has been involved. An average of one in every 8 years since it became a state in 1948. The 48 War. Just after Israel had declared itself a state, Palestinians and other Arabs attacked the Israeli army, which had been formed out of the terrorist groups, the Irgun and the Stern Gang. The reason for the attack by the Palestinians was to try to regain their homes, which, through murder and terrorism, the Zionists had confiscated. The Palestinians had been a peaceful people and were not trained in the art of warfare, while the Ashkenazi Zionist Jews, who had migrated from the Soviet Russia, Poland, and Germany, had more knowledge of tactical warfare. In addition, Zionists had built up a large amount of arms, which they had purchased from the U.S., and communist countries had illegally smuggled into the area. The Arabs were defeated, and in the process, Israel conquered more Palestinian territory. We'll continue with this right after this break.
Are you tired of brown rust stains on your toilets, sinks, and clothes? Does your water smell and taste bad? Don't live with these problems anymore. HydroCare's revolutionary well water systems, available at Wave Home Solutions, gives you clean, healthy, great-tasting water from every faucet. They remove iron, hydrogen sulfide, sediment, and many other contaminants that are distasteful and damaging your fixtures. You'll be amazed how fresh and clean well water can be. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to bestwater123.com. That's bestwater123.com.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
In 1956, Egypt owned the land through which the Suez Canal flows. Egypt's president, Nasser, declared his intention of taking over operation of the canal from England. This would have hurt England's colonial empire, so England, along with France and Israel, conspired to attack Egypt. With Egypt nearly subdued, American President Eisenhower stepped in and ordered England, France, and Israel to withdraw. At the time, the United States was still militarily strong enough to back Eisenhower's order, so England, France, and Israel did withdraw. This was the only time during the U.S.-Israeli relations that a U.S. president put any interest of America ahead of Israel's interest. The 1967 war, tension was mounting between Egypt and Israel over territory located between the two countries, the Sinai and the Gaza Strip. To help Israel get an unfair advantage, the Soviet Union itself resorted to trickery. Soviet diplomats in Egypt told President Nasser to threaten war but not attack. Then Soviet diplomats told Israel's leader to threaten war and then go ahead and attack. This act of treachery enabled Israel to attack while Egypt was off guard and destroy Egypt's military capacity in just 6 days. It has been the goal of Israel's leaders to take over the land between the Nile and the Euphrates. Besides the Sinai and the Gaza Strip, which Israel intended to take from Egypt during the war, they desired the West Bank, which was part of Jordan, and the Golan Heights, which was part of Syria. So during the 1967 war, Israel resorted to trickery. Israel had technical equipment to intercept radio messages and change these messages, boil them, if you will, and then send them on to their destination. During the war, Israel intercepted messages from Egypt to Jordan and Syria and changed the messages, tricking Jordan and Syria into entering the war. The Arab countries were defeated, and Israel took a big step toward its goal of conquest by occupying the Golan Heights and the West Bank, as well as the Sinai and the Gaza Strip. Even though Israel's attack on Egypt is called the 1967 War, and often referred to as the Six-Day War, it can hardly be called a war. Egypt, the most powerful Arab nation at that time, didn't have a chance to fight. Trickery was on the part of the Soviet Union, and Israel, as I have explained, rendered the so-called 1967 war nothing more than a treacherous act of terrorism for which the Soviets and the Israelis are famous. Israel's attack on the USS Liberty. During the 1967 war, one of the most daring acts of treachery was committed. It was the attack on an American ship, the USS Liberty, by America's so-called friend, Israel. During Israel's treacherous attack on Egypt, the USS Liberty, an American surveillance ship, was cruising off the coast of Israel monitoring the progress of the attack. Realizing that the USS Liberty was learning and recording Israel's acts of treachery, Israeli leaders decided to get rid of the evidence. Israeli planes and torpedo boats attacked the Liberty with obvious intent in sinking it. If the ship was sunk, thus destroying the evidence, Israel could go and blame Egypt for the attack. And the Zionist-controlled news media in America would have given the lie as fact, with the intent of turning the American people against Egypt. But fortunately, bravery on the part of the Liberty crew kept the ship afloat. Israel failed in its act of treachery against America, its ally, but during the attack, Israel killed 34 crew members of the Liberty and wounded 171. Israel claimed the attack on the Liberty was a case of mistaken identity, but reports by the surviving crew and other evidence prove the attack by Israel was in fact intentional. Facts about the attack on USS Liberty were conveniently omitted by the Zionist-controlled American news media. All that the Zionists told the American people was Israel had sunk an American ship, but that it was a case of mistaken identity. An investigation by the U.S. government was subdued and a matter quickly forgotten. This is a good example of the tremendous influence the Zionists have over the U.S. government. We will continue this into the second hour, folks. I hope you're enjoying hearing real history.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.